You may be seated. I've already asked the Lord to help me, so let's go. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to read it in the King James, but I also want to read it in the Message, but I just may stay with the King James for the sake of what I'm trying to get to. Would you, of God, verse 1, would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly indeed and hear with me. I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, verse 3 is what I'm trying to get to, and there's more to read, but I'll read verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Mm-hmm. I want to read it again. Paul says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent, we know the story about the serpent in the Garden of Eden. As the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Mm-hmm. Not to have to go to the story. I don't have to go to the story. We've read the story millions and millions of times. We've always beat it like a dead dog. The beginning story and the process of it all. But in that process, the serpent or the system's mindset fooled Adam and Eve that they were not God and so that they needed to eat to be God. Uh-huh. Subtly, not loud, not with a lot of noise, not with a lot of words, just subtly, and it was sly, it was subtle. If you ever seen a serpent or a snake, they function the same way. It's not a lot of movement. They'll be there and you won't even know. And through subtlety, verse 3 says, your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Not the difficulty, not the complications, not the million and million and million of rules and steps, but the simplicity that is in Christ.
Come on.
Matthew chapter 11. Verse 1, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence in teaching, thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, and he said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Uh-huh. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Uh-huh. Verse 7, as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, wait, what went ye out in the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But went ye out to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding that he is the least in the kingdom of heaven. Now watch this, I want you to catch this. Not one greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent taken by force. That was the way they were doing things. For all the prophets in the law, the prophets until John. and if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for it to come. He, verse 15, he that had ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 16, but whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the markets and calling unto their fellows and saying, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, and a friend of publicans and sinners, but wisdom is justified of her children. The last line is a very simple thing. The proof in the pudding is the eating. We can preach a lot of messages, but the proof is there to say it all. And in actuality, there's not a lot that needs to be said when the proof is there. We live in a generation, and I'll speak to this. We live in a generation now and a generation to come that is becoming calloused and hardened because of false advertisement. We sing our songs and we preach our messages and we beat our chests and we spell out our Christianity, yet we don't see as many results as we should. Even our witnessing as we have it now is incomplete, because I remember reading about being born again, and Nicodemus actually came to Jesus because he saw something different. It's not that we don't go to people, but a thing that's incomplete is not it at all. So if we take one side and not the other, Nicodemus came looking for Jesus.
Right.
Because there was something to be seen. That's what the word witness actually means. And if we leave this out, then we have not completed everything that Jesus is saying for us to complete. So there's a generation that's looking and they're becoming uninterested. We'll tend to call them evil, or we'll tend to call them rebellious, or we'll tend to say that they are this and that. But in actuality, sometimes there are things that need to be seen and experienced in the flesh. John 1 says the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. John chapter 5, verse 39, Jesus speaks. He says, search. I want you to search the script. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they, and they are they, which testify of me, but you won't come all the way.
Right.
You won't come to me.
Come on.
And so, like the scripture says, it's like children out there, and we pipe, we sang the song to you, we sent the messages to you, we've done all these different things. And the generation is still looking for something. Chasing something, I heard this statement yesterday, chasing something unattainable leads to a lifetime of disappointment and resentment. I'll say it again. Chasing something that is unattainable leads to a lifetime of disappointment and resentment. And many times running this journey, it can feel this way. If somebody tell me the truth right now, and there's some people sitting listening to me right now, they feel that way because they said all the prayers and did all the confessions. And we've institutionalized ourselves to a waiting gospel. We've institutionalized ourselves to a one day in the by and by. We've institutionalized ourselves to, well, if it doesn't happen now, let's wait on they that wait upon the Lord, I understand. And we've institutionalized ourselves to a place where we defer the power, or we misplace the power, or we misplace the identity, or we're pointing here, low here, and low there. And it can become disheartening when you've done all the steps and followed all the rules and jumped all the hurdles and been to all the prayer meetings and been to all the services for this much of power. Is the power of God real? Yes, it is. It is more evident than ever before. It is more potent and strong than ever before.
Yes, sir.
Is the miracle working power of God still alive? Yes, it is. It is more real right now than it's ever been before.
Yes,
Is the life-changing signs and wonders of God evident and available? Yes, they are. So what is, if this is all true and God is still God and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, why is it that the former days are greater than these? People become callous because they do not receive what they were told they would receive. I mean, even right now, if you order something and they don't give you what you're supposed to have, we'll have a fit at some restaurants, won't we? Or we'll have a fit if you paid for something and didn't receive what was paid for. Paul speaks about it. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace, that same grace that the child grew up in. I do not frustrate the grace. I do not frustrate this identity. I do not frustrate this divine ability to be. And then he goes on to say, because if we frustrate it and we try to do it another way, then Christ has died in vain. The price that we say was paid for us was paid in vain. What's worse than not being where you want is not knowing who you are. We lament and we cry because we are not where we want to be in life. And we don't have the things that we think we should have by now. And we have not attained all the whatever it is that we think we should have by now after serving the Lord for so long. But the bigger tragedy than this and the bigger lamenting than this is to not know who you've always been and who you're supposed to be at this moment. So chapter 11, verse 15, I want to say it one more time, and it won't take me very long to say what I need to say. Chapter 11, verse 15, it says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. We've come to a place where there shouldn't no longer be a convincing. We shouldn't have to, once that we've been institutionalized, our faith has been institutionalized to repeat and 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 to repeat over and over and over and over again to somewhat beat it into our heads, the truth. But the truth has always been evident. And the key to the truth about who you are is surrender. The key is not attainment, but yielding. Now, I'll show you something I saw. The Lord showed it to me the other day, and I'd never seen it. I never saw it this way. He pointed it out. It's always there. You know, we be acting like we got something new when God been here since forever. But I appreciate it. Matthew chapter 13, just flip over a page. And I believe that we're coming to a place. I've been hearing Apostle minister in this new place that we're in. I heard Leroy Jr. minister Sunday, and there's a shift that's been happening. And I believe, even standing here right now, I feel a shift of deliverance. Of delivering this message, because they're coming a place. Jesus makes a statement. He said, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. I don't have time to go there, but he said the coming of the Son of Man shall be this way. Now, he referred to himself as the Son of Man and the Son of God, which was making us one with him and one with God at the same time, if you cross-reference and understand what he's saying. But he says, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. That means that the understanding, the identity, the realizing of who you really are, this is how it's going to look when it shows up. And if you're not where you should be, you won't end up where you want to be. He says they were marrying and giving of marriage. He said they were eating and drinking. He said they were buying and selling. He said, and the flood came, He said, in the days of Noah, he said, the flood came and they didn't even know it was coming. And he said, it swept them all.
That's true.
Away. Sounds like everyday life. It sounds like he didn't say they were drinking and smoking. He didn't say they were sexing and tricking. He didn't say any of those things that we put on that list. Those sounds like pretty normal. Marrying and giving a marriage, yeah. Eating and drinking, yeah, yeah. Selling and buying, yeah, yeah, yeah. He said, and the flood came. And they did not know it. And then he's describing how the identity, the Son of Man, how it's going to show up, how it appears to you is going to show up, and you won't even see it because you're busy doing what you think the identity is.
Come on.
And they say the flood come in and swept them all away. The good people, yep. People that are living right, yep. Jesus said, they're going to be someone that said, Lord, I cast out demons in your name. I prophesied. I said, I did all the right things. Graduated from ministry school. I had perfect attendance at church. You can say, depart from me, I never knew you. What I said, Lord, who can get in? Lord, who's going to make it? He started killing our criteria. Jesus said, you lay with a woman, you committed, I said, you thought about it. He starts killing our criteria. There ain't no way to get past here.
Come on.
He eliminates our excuses for being. I wrote down in my phone today, I've been studying the Middle Eastern Jesus, because you know Jesus was Middle Eastern, right? If Jesus did show up today in his bodily form, a lot of Americans for sure wouldn't accept him because of how he looks. Mm-hmm. So I've been studying the Middle Eastern Jesus because he cut no corners.
Nope.
He made a demand on the greatness that was inside of us. And he was all about, listen to what I'm about to say, all about being one with the Father and his will.
Yes, he was.
I said, this European, Euro-American Jesus, a genie. Rub him right and ask for 3 wishes. Mm. And in the name of Jesus.
That's true?
Yeah. Wow.
And so there's a change that has to happen. We've been institutionalized over years and years and years and years and years. I do a lot of study of history, of the history of China. I know the Roman emperor became a Christian after Jesus died, some years after he became a Christian. Then he made the whole country Christian. Then we go into the Roman Catholic. I don't want to get into all that, but it's been institutionalized to a certain way. And beware lest the serpent subtly deceives you from the simplicity that is in Christ. Even Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 11. I didn't get that far to go read. He said, come unto me, all that labor and heavy laden, I give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me. Watch this, because I'm meek and lowly at heart. I'm not loud enough. I'm not boisterous. I'm not really trying to, you know, I heard somebody preach the other day. They said Jesus would be in the crowd. A lot of times we see Jesus tell him, go, don't tell nobody. I said, what are you talking about? You're trying to be extra humble, huh? No, but Jesus knew what was going on. He said, while Jesus in the crowd, Jesus was in the crowd to go and heal somebody, and the crowd would press upon him trying to get what they want. And they were impeding the progress of the master. They were getting in the way with their desires. They allowed themselves and their desires to become who do men say that I'm? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail, and I give you the keys of the kingdom. Then he goes on and he says, he begins to explain to them how all of this is, that they will come and they will beat him, and they will take him and they will kill him, but he will raise up on the third day. And here's Peter with his desires and his wants. Say, Lord, let it not, it's not going to be unto you. And the immediate thing he says, and it seems like a sincere statement, and the immediate thing he says to Peter is, get behind me, Satan. He didn't say you acting like Satan. He didn't say you got a demon. He called his name.
Right, right.
He said, because thou art an offense to me. The word offense means the stumbling block. You're in the way. You're standing in the way of where we should be going. And he says, why? Because thou savorest the things that be of men and not of God. Now, he's not talking about being in the streets right now.
Right, right.
Because you can be in your moral home, still in the way.
Still in the way.
You can be in your moral lifestyle, never done a thing wrong in the world, in the way.
That's right.
And how will you become a block? How do you become a stumbling block? Because you've gotten in the way with your desires. Jesus is very explicit about take my yoke upon me and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly heart, you'll find rest for your soul. Everything else is an unrest to your soul. Mm-hmm. Take this yoke, learn this, learn of me. Search the scriptures. In them, you think they have eternal life, and there they was testified of me. What does Jesus say when we come to him? What does he say about us? We can pick up all the principles and all the steps and all the books and everything. And if we miss what Jesus is telling us about ourselves, then it's all in vain. Mm-hmm. I mean, they did it. There's over 600 something laws and they were doing it over and over again. And couldn't fulfill it. Couldn't get it together. Matthew 13, I'm just going to show you this real quick, and I'll be done because I don't think that there's at some point there should be a place where we give up. Where we've dedicated ourselves enough to actually be born again. And when you see the word born again, I was reading in Aramaic, that's the original language Jesus spoke. It literally means to become a child again. You must be born again. You must become a child. Your adult and grown up ways are in the way. Your adult Christian concepts are in the way. Listen to what I'm telling you. And you must be born again, because when you become born again, I can teach you your new name. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Children don't learn their names when they're grown. You know what name? I heard this from Leroy Jr. The name, when you say the name of Jesus, it became Alakazam, because our people are saying it so much. But name is a character. It's everything that stands for. It's the character, it's the identity, it's the way it moves, the way it speaks, the intentions of the heart, the name of Jesus. But you cannot learn that you have a new name until you become a child. You learn, all of you, everybody under the sound of my voice learned their name when they were children. Jesse, Jeremy, Larry, Lawrence. We were hearing these names. Said that we're over and over and over, sometimes corrective. Sometimes in fun. I remember times my dad would send me back across the ravine in our old neighborhood in Gosmer to tell him to stop calling me Monty, because that ain't your name. Your name not Monty. Hey, Monty. You know, you're Montreal. Hey, Monty. Hey, Monty. He said, tell him, you go back over. And I was so embarrassed. But you go back over there and tell them that your name ain't Monty. Your name is Montreal. As a grown man, at the time I was like, man, I'm cool with Monty. I think Monty kind of cool. Wasn't my name, though. If I go right now and go to anybody's bank, institution, sign any papers that have any importance, and I put Monty on there, it won't go through. Right. I won't receive the things that are rightfully mine with Monty.
That's right.
I have to know my name. Now, what we've been doing, I'm going to speak for myself, you can speak for yourself. We've been going to the Lord's will and signing. I've been signing Montreal, when the only name that works for that is Christ. Yes, sir. I've been trying to sign these papers with Montreal, and Montreal got his whole little plan of how. Uh-huh. You say, Jesus, I know. Who are you? Somebody say, who the hell are you? This is what I'm saying. So who are you?
Come on.
I can get there quick. Thank you, Lord. Matthew chapter 13, who are you? And I'm going to share what the Lord showed me. And it ain't going to take long if you listen and you hear and you decide you have to commit to change. You have to commit to change. You have to commit to say, I commit to change. Say it again. I commit to change. You watching at home or wherever you are, say it. Say, I commit to change. If you are stuck where you are, or you think that you know already, or you have turned your ears off, you will never be who you really are. And the same day, Matthew chapter 13, verse 1, the same day, and we've read these scriptures over and over again. The same day Jesus went out the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. If you want to name this something, Darius, you can name it, keep it 100. And when they sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth. And forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Now, skip verse 8 for a second. I want to go to verse 9. What did verse 9 say? Who has ears to hear? We just heard that a little while ago in Matthew 11, right? That Jesus is trying to say something. He's trying to say everybody's not going to hear it, but who has ears to hear, let him hear. And those who don't have ears to hear, they just won't hear. And I don't think Jesus made a big deal about trying to make everybody hear. I believe from reading the connotation was, well, if you hear, then you hear, and if you don't, you don't. My job is to lay it out. And if you hear, then you hear. And if you don't, you don't. The difference between the ears are surrendered ears. We've been going to God with our wants.
That's right.
With our prayers and our desires, and show up God for us. And he says, I want you to show up for me. Who are you? And verse 8. But other fell in the good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold. And some 60-fold, and some 30-fold. I've read this before. Mark has a version. Mark has a version. The Mark version says it a certain way, and even Luke has a version. And he doesn't even go into all the different levels of it. Luke just say 100-fold. But I read this the other day, and the Lord struck me, because I always read the version, or always understood the version. Some fell among good ground and bought for fruit, and some bought some 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Right? I stopped to read this, but that's not what this says. See, order is everything. But other fell in the good ground and brought forth what? Fruit. And then what is, what's the levels? Some 100-fold, 60-fold. Well, that's not the way to count. Y'all know we say count to 10. You're not going to say 10, 9, 8. Right? We normally count 1, 2, 3, and on up. What are you talking about? This is not the way to count. This is backwards. According to us, it's backwards. According to us, we got to master the 30-fold first.
Right.
Before we can get to the 60-fold. And then if we do right, we can go from the 60-fold to the
100-fold.
But Jesus starts you at 100. I'll flip over to chapter 17 in a minute. We ain't got to go there now. But even the parable about the talents, I read it wrong. I thought he gave 1, 1, 1, 2, 1, 5. No, he started off with the 5. He started off with the greater. And he told me that they said, keep it 100. Because 30-fold and 60-fold are you lessening yourselves. I started you with 100.
Yeah. Come on.
Before you did anything that you thought was spiritual or deep, you were 100.
Yeah, come on.
Listen. This is my beloved, thank you. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Before there was a miracle, hadn't done anything. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Like I'm already pleased with him.
Yeah.
Before he does any of the things that you think is worthy of being pleased.
Yeah.
So it hit me. And I know it's simple. I ain't got to go to many middle scriptures. It's simple. He says, but other fell in the good ground and brought forth fruit, and some 100. He starts off. I do a lot of study. Before they had the Bible, they had the Tanakh and all that stuff like that. And even the way those Jewish Hebrew original writings were. You know, we read, or we open the Bible like this, and then we read from this way. It opens this way. It reads the other way. It shows a flip. We're living this attained life when we already have it.
That's right.
See, I already got it. Come on, say it now. Yeah, say it like you believe it. Because I already got it. Do I got it? No. Already got it. I start off at 100. Jesus ain't got time for you to go on 30, 60, and 100. He said you can dumb yourself down to 30 if you want. You can forfeit the greatness of who you are to where you only 30-fold if you want to. Or 60-fold if you want to. But I call you 100. So keep it 100. Well, what does that mean? That means everything. In another verse, let me see if I can get over there real quick. I'll get there. I don't want the message. Chapter 19, same Matthew. Long story short, rich young ruler come running and say, come running, say, good master, what good things shall I do to have eternal life? In verse 16, he keeps running. He says, you deserve the commandment? He said, yeah. He said, thou will be perfect. Go sell what thou have, give it to the poor, and I shall have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. He said, the young man heard that. Verse 22, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus said, never, very, very, I said, the rich man shall hardly enter to the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When disciples heard, they were exceedingly amazed and said, who then can be saved? How is anybody going to be saved? Jesus held them and said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things. I paused and answered Peter and said, behold, we have forsaken all. And Father, what will, how much you say forsaken what? All? What shall we have? And of course, they're always talking about what they're going to have. What shall we have? The question is an incomplete and incorrect question. Paul says, what shall we have? Listen to the statement. I'm just seeing it now. He said, we've forsaken all and come and follow you. So what shall we have? Well, for me to say, what shall I have? Would me be concluding that I don't have anything now. it almost gives a connotation that I'm saying I need something else to be. So I left all that stuff to come follow. So what we gonna get? And then, you know, the old funeral message would be many mansions, if it was so I told you, right? And we go, and we defer. But Jesus didn't defer.
Right.
But he still brought him back to what he has already. Listen to the statement. And we read this one fast because it's too challenging sometimes. We read these next scriptures and we and then go to the 100-fold part right quick and now when the time and we read it fast because it's challenging.
Right.
But that's what I love about Jesus. He says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, that which shall follow me in the regeneration when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of glory, you shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Verse 29. And every one that has forsaken houses of brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands, God, dog.
Right.
Well, that's everything.
Everything.
Wait, hold up. Let me slow down. And everyone that has forsaken, what forsaken, Lord? What does the word forsaken mean? To leave, to send away, to bid, going away to depart, to lay aside, to yield up, to omit, to put away. Well, I say unto you, that ye which shall follow me, verse 29, and ye and every one of you that is forsaken houses of brethren and sisters, a father, a mother, a wife, or children, or lands, God, don't he touch everybody, didn't he?
Yeah.
He touched everybody that, he touched everything.
Yeah.
He ain't leave nothing out. House, your brother, your sister, your father, your mother, your wife, your children, and your land. For my name's
sake.
Mm-hmm. So you just don't give them up just to be giving stuff up.
Right.
The Corinthians talk about that. You can have your body to be burned and have not love.
Right.
You can speak with the tongues of man. You can do all the great things for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Lord. Many people are sowing and they seem to be not receiving because they don't really realize they've already received. Money cometh is a result of who you already are. This is why it comes to you, because you are abundance. It is not a magic trick, put it in, get it out. Put it in, get it out. The principle of seed time and harvest is just the same thing that he's saying. The one time Jesus said, I'm not going to speak down parables, I'm just going to plant it. God is the sower. He the one sowing the seed. So now the greatness of God himself, in the beginning, he breathed himself into man and man became a living soul. And now everything that comes, the miracles and signs and wonders, were only replications of Jesus' identity. They were not something else to be attained. They came from him. Listen, they were not something else to be worked up to. It was only an outward reflection of his inner life. Mm-hmm.
Keep it 100.
And he says, which is forsaken everything. And he says, for my name's sake, for my character's sake, for being me. You give it up for being me. You put it away or put it on the side. I stop thinking about it so much. I stop praying for your house so much. Stop praying for your spouse so much. Stop praying because you need to be knowing who you are. If you knew who you were, who you are would do more for the people around you than your prayers would ever do. As a matter of fact, your prayers are, well, have you ever, would you listen to the truth from Elijah? Would you? Somebody's a bona fide liar. You know they lie. They got a t-shirt on saying, I am a liar. Would you take the truth from them?
No.
So you wouldn't believe their word, huh?
No.
Their word have no effect towards you, would it? Some of our prayers are empty because we don't know us. Mm. We're looking for 104, praying 30 prayers. This is what I'm trying to tell y'all. And it's a submission and a surrender. Will you put it to the side? It's a challenge. He's saying nobody, there's nobody that has put all this to the side, to omit it, to leave it on the side for my name's sake. I'm not talking about going on the mission field right now. You can do this at your house right now. You can do this right where you're sitting there. You can do this without mission field going, without going to a synagogue or a temple. You can do it right now at your home. Just decide to put everything on the side for the sake of Christ. And Christ's identity. The reason that we're really not Christ's identity because all those things are flooding our minds.
That's right.
He said, and everyone that's forsaken, houses of brothers and sisters of fathers and mothers of wife or children of lands for my name's sake. Watch this. Here go that 100 again. Shall receive 100-fold and shall inherit everlasting life. Many that are first shall be last, and last shall be first. He's flipping. He's always flipping it. He's always flipping. The way that you think it's supposed to go is the wrong way. Many shall be first, shall be last, and last shall be first. He's flipping it. We got to understand what he's saying. He's flipping it. He's saying the way that you think is to put yourself in first place, really you're putting yourself in last.
Right.
Y'all got to hear what I'm saying. The way that what you're struggling to put yourself in first place, you're really putting yourself in last. What you're struggling to try to put yourself ahead is really putting yourself behind.
True.
What they tell you is the thing that puts you in the front is really putting you at the back.
Come on.
Yeah. It's why the statement, what profit is a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? It becomes very clear. You know, they try to use it talking about don't have no, that's not what it's about. You can have all good things, but good things will crumble when you build them on the sand and not on the rock, which is the identity of Christ, keep it 100. You started 100 and God never changed his mind. He hadn't changed his mind since the beginning. The only person that mind changed was. Jesus said this. He said, I am the resurrection before he went to the cross. That means God hadn't changed his mind. Jesus had to go all the way to the cross to put his money where his mouth was. No greater love than this man to lay down his life for a friend, but he says, they said, well, Lord, we know. Well, he goes, he's last. He said, we know he's going to get up in the resurrection. We know he's going to get up in that day when, and he said, I am the resurrection. You can say the same thing if you ain't scared. I am the resurrection. Jesus ain't nervous. Oh, don't say that. I'm nervous about that. He's not nervous. He wish y'all say more about who he is in you and you are in him. He wish we talk more that way. Because maybe we can understand. Maybe then we can understand each other's language. Some of our prayers sound like Japanese to God. If God only understood English. Some of our prayers sound like a foreign language because we're speaking. He's talking about the scripture says we pray, but we pray amiss. So you're praying, but your prayer is missing. Because you're requesting something that you don't know you already are. Jesus said, when you pray, Matthew 6.
Uh-huh.
And I read Matthew chapter 3 and verse 4, and he went on for like chapters, giving you who you really are. Giving you who you really are, and repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's a new way here. Don't go back to the old way. There's a new way. Then he says, when you pray, pray after this manner.
Yes.
Our Father. Uh-oh, he's calling equality now.
Yeah.
Because the Father and the Son are equal.
That's right.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, holy is thy name, character, everything behind it, the purpose, the being, everything behind that. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done. Where, Jeremy? In earth. You remember we were doing a little story? Remember we did the video? In earth. As it is. In heaven, in you. We've got to push all of our ideas of victory and all of our ideas of success and all of our ideas of what it means to be in the front to the side. These are the things that's keeping us blind. He said, nobody. He said, watch this. He said, everyone that has decided to make a decision to push everything on the side for my sake and my namesake and to be me will receive a hundredfold. In another version of the gospel, different version, he says, you receive a hundredfold now, mm-hmm. in this time. And then he lists everything over and over again. So really, before identity, before 100, right? Before you realize that I already got it, before anything shows up, before anybody claps for me or pats me on my back or give me a certificate, before any of this, I already got it. It is not by my merits, because it was here before I did anything. You understand what I'm saying? And then he says, you'll receive a hundredfold now in this time of all of those things that you decided to put. You decided. All of those things that you chose to push on the side for the sake of knowing who you are in me and I in you. And you'll receive a hundredfold of all those things. Later on in Matthew 6, after that Lord's Prayer, he says, take no thought what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, what you're going to put on. All these different things. He starts talking about how you take care of the flowers. He take care of the birds. He says, I want you to take no thought. Don't think about it less. I don't want no thoughts. But seek you. And I like to slow that down and say, seek you first. Because you're the kingdom of God. You thought God's way of doing things was something that's gonna come to you and then you're gonna work it out, huh? No, you the way. Well, Jesus said it. Jesus said, I am the. He didn't say I have the way.
That
man say, I am the way. You know what I'm saying? I am the truth. I am the life. Right? You are God's way. Whether you believe me or not, I don't need you to believe me. Whether you believe me or not, I grew up, I thought preaching was, I got to preach it right until, you know, they get it. And I got to preach it right till they get it. And if they don't get it, then I failed my message. That's not the truth. Don't really need you to believe me. You need to believe me. Whether you believe or not bears no bearing on my identity with God. Whether you believe it or not, you're already 100. Don't go all this list about all this stuff. I ain't pray that. Who asked you that? Nobody cares. What image you made in? Did he change his mind? Anywhere between Genesis and Jesus, did he say, and I stopped making man in my image and I started making him look like something else? Not one time. Did he ever say I took my breath away from him? Not one time.
That's right.
And so Jesus, I'm done. Jesus, in all of his red words, are trying to drown you in his blood. I want you to suffocate and I want you to bleed out of your own blood so you can have his running through you. When you wonder 100% Christ. Don't go down to 60. Don't go down to 30. The counting doesn't go up. You heard the statement, it ain't nowhere but up from here. Uh-uh. You're already up. Say, I'm up already. So the only way you can go is count down because you're already up. Amen. Amen.